Last week was a special Sunday, wasn't it? Remember? Resurrection Sunday. And I think it makes us all ask ourselves, what did Jesus actually do after the resurrection? What happened between the resurrection and the ascension? And do you know there was actually 40 days in that period of time? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. What happened, what the Bible tells us about that period of time. And the Gospel tells us that there were 10 appearances of the Lord. These are encounters that people had with Jesus. 5 of them was on the very day, the very resurrection day. 5 encounters with the Lord, and then the other 5 before Jesus ascended back into heaven. And when you read the encounters, you discover that all of them were to the followers of Jesus. All of them were to the followers of Jesus. And we read in Acts 1, verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking to of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus gave them infallible proofs. Infallible proofs. I've been pondering, why did it take 40 days? Well, it took 40 days for the followers of Jesus to have encounter after encounter until all doubt was gone. Infallible proof. In the end of the 40 days, they knew that they knew that they knew that they knew. These are lessons for us. These are lessons for us. Who of us can say that we've not had doubt in our life? Who of us have not had struggles? But if you give Jesus 40 days, if you give him 40 days to minister to you, you will find that your life will be changed. What did he speak to them about them? About pertaining to the kingdom of God. The message had not changed, but it hadn't all sunk in. We read also Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians 15:6. Paul describes this infallible proof. He says, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present. So more than 500 people saw him at the one time, saw the resurrected Jesus. And then Paul is saying, this is like 25 years later, and Paul is saying, most of them are still alive. That's a lot of eyewitnesses. That is a lot of eyewitnesses, isn't it? Now, why did it take 40 days? What does 40 represent? Well, remember the children of Israel, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. That is a long time. And we are sorry to say, but they really, you know, it's a testing time. 40 represents testing. But actually the Israelites failed the test, didn't they? They failed the test. Now Jesus himself fasted for 40 days. Before Jesus went into ministry, he had 40 days of testing. And he passed. He passed. In the end, it says, the devil had nothing on him. He never sinned. He quoted the word, he said, it is written. So Jesus had 40 days to get them into ministry. And now in the end of Jesus' life, Jesus has taken 40 days. What for? To get the people into ministry. To get you and I into ministry. Give him 40 days. Give him 40 days of your life. And your life will be transformed. He demonstrated to all of his followers that he truly was alive. They were really filled with fear and despair. It was the end of the world for them. The greatest miracle of all had taken place. Jesus Christ came alive again. And during this 40 days, Jesus demonstrated to his followers. He didn't bother with all the other people, the unbelievers. Why? Because that's the church's responsibility. Remember, Jesus said, I will build my church. So he spent his 40 days getting infallible proofs to his followers, and they took it all around the world. I'm standing here today because of that. You're sitting here today because of that. We have faith in our heart today because of that. That's how Jesus did it. He taught his disciple. So let's look at these 10 appearances. Let's just study it. When you look, read the scriptures, when you read the gospels, and when you read the book of Acts, and then what Paul has to say about it and the other disciples later on. The first appearance, ladies, you will love this, because the first one, of course, was that Jesus revealed himself to Mary Magdalene before any other people. See, the Lord chooses so differently from what people choose. You know, she was a lady that he'd cast 7 demons out of. If you've had demons cast out, you're in good company. Because it's wonderful to be set free. That was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to. And that's so glorious. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, but you know that in those days, ladies' testimonies in court, etc., they didn't carry the same weight as a man. That is just a historical fact. That's the way it was in those days. So Jesus picked a person of questionable reputation in some people's eyes. But that's who he revealed himself to. Doesn't that give you hope? It doesn't matter what people think, or you've blown it. If you seek him, you will find him. That's what she did. She was there at the tomb. First she had been at the cross, and now she was at the tomb. It was just so beautiful. And he trusted her. We're going to just read a few of the verses. You'll see that Jesus trusted her to go and tell the disciples. Let's look at John 20, verses 13 to 17. Then they said to her, "Woman," that's the angels, "why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." How glorious. How glorious. He picked Mary. That was the first encounter that we know of. The second one was to all the rest of the group of the women. Now, they had been with Mary at the graveside, and they were on their way. Jesus appeared to them when they were on their way. Matthew 28 and verse 9. "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him." These were all the ladies, and the disciples had yet to encounter Jesus. The ironic thing was, of course, that nobody believed them. This can happen. You meet Jesus and people say, "Oh, I don't really think so. I think you had too much cheese." All sorts of excuses. Not everybody believes. You can have an encounter and you know that you know. But not everybody believes. Even the disciples didn't really believe the ladies. But then we have to remember. We have to remember what they've gone through. I don't know if any of you watched the movie The Passion of the Christ. Has anybody seen The Passion of the Christ? Yes. I have to let you know, when I was watching it, there were bits I could not watch. I could not watch. I couldn't watch the violence. I couldn't watch, because the way, and I know in real life what they did to Jesus was even worse than wasn't portrayed in that movie. But it was so gruesome. It was so gruesome. It, you know, even his organs were starting to hang out. It was so gruesome. I couldn't watch. So you've got to remember that the people that were actually there, they would have been so traumatized to see a crucifixion like that. And to see a crucifixion of the Savior, of the one who was without sin, it would have been, I'm sure these people were so traumatized. So for them to hear that Jesus was alive, you know, this was just, it was just too much. It was too good to be true. And there was just too much for them to take in. And the Lord knew that. That's why he gave himself 40 days with them. Because it was such a shock for them. Now, the third appearance was actually with Simon Peter. It's mentioned in Luke 24, verse 34. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Now, pay attention to this. He appeared to Mary, and then he appeared to the ladies. And then who does he appear to as number three? It's Simon. Because Simon Peter was the one, remember, that had denied the Lord three times. Oh, he would be weeping. He would be so repenting on his heart. He would be feeling awful. Can you relate to this? Do you ever feel like you've let the Lord down? Do you ever look back on your life and you think, I wish I'd done this differently. I wish I'd followed the Lord more. I wish I had. We can be like that. I can see myself in this. We don't feel like we've done enough for the Lord. We don't feel like we've given enough to him. That broken spirit is what the Lord sees. So before Jesus met any of the other disciples, he went out of his way to do a one-on-one with Simon. Remember, Simon was his old name. So this is talking about the fleshly person. While Peter was the spiritual person, he was given a new name. And so Jesus calls him Simon until he restores him. And it's just so beautiful that God recognizes this. Psalm 51 verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And so, when we have a broken spirit, the Lord will come. When we humble ourselves and when we repent, the Lord will come. He will come and do a personal one-on-one. Because this was private business. And so it's not recorded what Jesus said to him. This was a private meeting. This was not for other ears. But we notice it took place. Then we have the fourth appearance. The fourth appearance, you will remember there were two disciples, Cleopas and another on Emmaus' road. We'll read about that in Luke chapter 24. And they are on the road and they are walking in, and Jesus starts to walk with them, and they don't know who he is. They don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. And then as they are talking, they realize, oh, he doesn't know what's been going on. He says, where have you been? You know, this prophet Jesus, they crucified him. And then Jesus starts to expound from the scriptures to him. And if we pick it up in verse 30 and 31, this is after Jesus has explained everything in the scriptures. It says, now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it and gave it to them. Then the eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. He took the bread and he broke it, and as he did that, they saw the nail-scarred hands. They saw the nail-scarred hands, because even although Jesus was in his glorified body, he had the nail-scarred hands, and he had the deep wound in his side. And when he broke the bread, it is the breaking of the bread is when we remember what took place at the cross. That is the place that you will get to know Jesus, at the cross. At the cross, beholding what he has done and the price that he has paid, that his body was so beaten for you, and that his blood was shed so that your sins can be washed clean. That is where you get to know him. And it was at the communion that they recognized him. That is a picture for us. For us to get to know the Lord, you have to look at the cross. You have to look at what it represents. The disciples had lost their zeal, and Jesus had to rekindle it. They were starting to doubt, was he really the Son of God? The two disciples talked about him as a prophet, but before they had talked about him as the Son of God. They had forgotten his prophecies. He had told them that he would be killed, but on the third day he would rise. He had told them that if you destroy this temple, talking about his body, he would rebuild it in 3 days. And he told them about Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the whale. He told them. And they knew this was the third day. I mean, they were able to count to three. Come on. They knew it was the third day. And yet, they didn't. They didn't recognize him. So these two disciples, how did Jesus light the fire? He taught them the word of God. He went all the way back from the beginning of Moses, went through all the scriptures and pulled out all the scriptures and showed that was Jesus the Messiah. And when did their hearts burn within them? When he started to talk to them and preach. It is the word of God that is going to burn in your heart. That is how you get your fire, from the words of Jesus. We were just singing one of the songs, you rekindle this fire. Don't you hear lots of people that are so-called Christians and they wish they were on fire? But they don't go to they won't go and get lit. They want to be on fire, but they don't want to be lit. We've got to get the word inside of us. We've got to get close to Jesus to hear his word so we can be on fire again. That's how Jesus did it. Then they get to the fifth appearance. We're still on day one. We're still on resurrection day. And this is to the 11 minus Thomas. So actually it's 10 disciples, right? Because Thomas wasn't there. There might be some of you listening on Facebook. You're not in church. You missed it. You missed it. You're not at church today. Thomas wasn't there. We don't know why. The scripture doesn't tell us why. But the other 10 were there. And when we read in Luke, it says, and them that were with them. You see, news traveled fast when somebody that had been crucified had been seen alive. People were going, really? I mean, if you were a believer, you wouldn't just let the disciples meet by themselves, would you? You would squeeze your way into that gathering. You would most definitely, because you think, well, I've heard about these other places where news travel fast. So there would be another group of believers with them. And that's what we read about. Let's pick up at John 20, verses 19 onwards. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples had assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Wow, this had been some day, this resurrection day. First, the followers of Jesus discover that the tomb is empty. Yeah, they're wondering who's taken the body, who's stolen the body. Then Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Then he appears to all the other women. The disciples still don't believe. Then these two disciples are away walking over in the road to Emmaus, and then Jesus appears to them. And they quickly get so excited, they run all the way back to Jerusalem because they want to tell the disciples. When they arrive in Jerusalem, then they hear that Jesus has already appeared to Simon. And so they're all together here, kind of scratching their head, trying to put all this together to see what is really going on. And then the Lord, just like that, the door was shut. The door was shut. But just like that, suddenly the Lord stands there. Do you wish you were there? But don't you know he's here? He's here right now. The two or three are together in my name. I'm there, he says. Don't miss it. The Lord is here. Wow. He says, "Peace be unto you." Shalom. Even if you go to Israel today, that's how they'll greet you. Shalom. So beautiful, isn't it? The prophet had declared that one of the names of the Messiah would be Prince of Peace. And when Jesus was born, the angels proclaimed, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And just before Jesus was crucified, he said to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you." And now when he comes, for the first time together again after the resurrection, he starts off by saying, "Peace be unto you." And then we read that right after that, he shows them his hands and his side. And that is connected to the greeting of saying, "Peace be with you," because Colossians 2 says, "And have made peace through the blood of the cross." It is the peace that we have now with God is because of the blood of Jesus. So he shows them his hands and the piercing in the side. He was in his glorified body, his resurrected body, but he still had the marks of the crucifixion. And even when we go to the book of Revelation and we read about the Lord, we will read that he's still got the marks of the crucifixion because John says he sees him as a lamb that has been slaughtered. So he still carries these marks. And then Jesus goes on to say to the disciples here, he said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." So there's a double portion of peace. The first peace is the peace that we have now with God because of the blood of Jesus that washed away our sin. The second peace that God gives us is the peace to allow us to go in his name with the gospel. Twice we get this shalom of Jesus. And then after he said that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because of the fall, doesn't that remind you of when Adam was created, God breathed his spirit into Adam. But because of the fall, mankind had become fallen, had become fleshly. Just natural man. But now Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them and they became spiritual beings. And so we are spiritual beings today. Praise God. Now the sixth appearance is a week later. This is the very beginning. We see that the church would meet on a Sunday, the first day of the week. No longer meeting on the Sabbath, but the first day of the week they would meet. We pick that up, John 20, verses 26 to 29. After 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. He's not going to miss it this time, is he? He heard from all the other 10 disciples that Jesus had showed up. He's not going to miss it this time, so he's there. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answers and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believed." See, the other disciples, they got to see the Lord's nail-pierced hands the previous Sunday, but Thomas wasn't there. Now he gets the chance. Sometimes you feel like you missed it, but the Lord says, "No, you can still come. You can still come. I will give you an encounter if you come today." The seventh encounter or appearance is the breakfast at the sea. Because Peter said, "Come on, I'm going out fishing," and they all go out fishing. And you know, we read all about them being out fishing, and while they're out there, somebody's lighting a fire on the beach and cooking breakfast, and they're wondering what's going on. And of course, John discovers it's the Lord. John discovers it's the Lord. If you pick up then John 21, verse 4, "When the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus." And he tells them to cast the net on the other side. And of course, it's full of huge, big fish. And John realizes it's the Lord. And we go to verse 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." And at this encounter, see, Jesus keeps showing them it is really him. Because they thought maybe it's a ghost, maybe it's their imagination. And so he's eating breakfast with them. He's having food together with them. In your glorified body, yes, you can still eat food. And in this encounter also, this is when Jesus restores Simon Peter publicly. Simon, who had denied the Lord 3 times, get to 3 times confess out loud in front of the church that he loved the Lord and he committed to serve and feed the followers of Jesus. So the Lord always gives you a chance to be restored. He restores us. We just sang that. He's our restorer. Praise God. It's also mentioned in the Corinthians 15:6 about the over 500 people, because by this time there would have been a lot of people that would have gathered along with the disciples, because they've had a whole week for the news to spread, of course. Moving on to the ninth appearance is to James, 1 Corinthians 15:7. After that, he was seen by James. I remember this was the brother of Jesus, a half-brother of Jesus. And we know from Scripture that he just didn't really believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But he gets a special encounter as well. And so he was seen by the Lord. And so we've got one of his books in the Bible. And then the 10th appearance, of course, we can read about in Acts chapter 1. And this is where Jesus gives the last instructions to the disciples, and then he ascends up to heaven. Acts 1, verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." This is where he tells them to wait to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And then when we go on, he gives on to the Great Commission, and in verse 8 we pick it up. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so we have the 10th appearance as the Great Commission. And this is commission also to us to go out, to be the witnesses. So that is the 10 appearances. And I'm sure there would have been a lot of other things that Jesus did, but these are the ones that are recorded. Because John said, if everything was to be recorded, the world couldn't contain the books of everything the Lord did. And I just want to finish off with, let's look a little bit about this glorified body that Jesus was in. Because you notice that suddenly he would be there and suddenly he would be gone. So this is important to you and I, isn't it? Because if you're born again, we too are going to get a glorified body. And the older we get, I tell you, the more we look forward to it. It tells us, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he's able to even to subdue all things to himself. So we too will get a glorified body at the rapture. How glorious is that? Now, the disciples typically didn't recognize Jesus, but he didn't look like an alien. I mean, when they were walking on the road, they just thought, it's another traveler. He didn't look odd. Mary thought at first he was the gardener. So he looked like a human. However, he could appear at will and disappear at will. He didn't need doors to open. He would just show up. The angels that came and they rolled the stone away, that was for you and I to see an empty grave. The Lord was long gone before that. Hey, he didn't need... You see, in the resurrected body, it's in a different dimension. So there's no obstacles in the way. He could just move at speed. And the other thing that is indicated in the scripture, remember he said to Mary, you know, don't touch me because I've not been to the Father yet. But then later on, maybe an hour or so later, he meets the other ladies and he lets them touch him. That would indicate in between those two encounters that he'd gone to heaven and back, because by that time he let everybody touch him. You see, that's traveling faster than light travels, going all the way up to the third heaven, to the Father, and all the way back again. That's a glorified body. Quite different from what we live with. The other thing that we see is, he talks about, if you go to Luke 24, verse 39, he says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. So that he's telling them he's made out of flesh and bones. Cast your mind back to Adam and Eve before the fall. Remember when God created Adam, and then he, from his rib, he then created Eve. And then when Adam is back conscious again, Genesis 2:23, Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So both the resurrected body of Jesus and Adam and Eve before the fall were made out of flesh and bone. No blood. Blood's not mentioned. Jesus has shed his blood for us. It's interesting, isn't it? So the resurrected body is different. It's got different properties. Jesus was eating. He was able to eat with them. And so we too will get this resurrected body. Praise God. He has made a way for us. I encourage you today, my friend. I encourage you through all of these encounters. You too can have that kind of encounter. And for those of you that are listening and you feel like you've let the Lord down, He is waiting. He's got an appointment with you in His book today. But a one-on-one with you. Because He wants to restore you. You feel like my life has been full of doubt. He has an appointment with you. My friend, you give Him 40 days of your life and you will not have any doubt anymore. You meet with Him for 40 days, you will not have any doubt anymore. Because He is to be experienced. He kept saying to Him, come on then, come on, touch, come on, touch. And He sat and He had fellowship with them and meals together. He's not a far away person. He's right with you. He wants to come in and have fellowship with you. If you open your heart, He will come in, the scripture says. So I encourage you today, let Jesus come in and have fellowship with you. Come on, let's get back on fire. Let His words minister into your life. Amen. Praise God.